Hello and welcome to Kathleen Can Do It, the DIY podcast celebrating the fun and fails of doing it yourself. I'm Kathleen Heaney.
And I'm Kathleen Martin.
And we're just two Kathleens trying to stencil their walls like a pro.
In this episode, we are discussing the do's and don'ts of working with wall stencils.
It's a hot topic, wall stencils.
They're making a comeback.
But it's not for the faint of heart.
No.
And Kathleen, I think that maybe you are the world's greatest wall stencil pro out there.
I've had a lot of fails that have led me to my success.
So let's talk about the wall in your bathroom that you did with that amazing, what was the name of the stencil?
It is called the Deco Palm from Cutting Edge Stencil. This is not sponsored by them,
yeah,
but I have purchased from them. I've been gifted by them and I truly, truly love this brand.
Yeah. And I have purchased from them, but you know, me, the queen of unfinished, unstarted projects, I've never used their stencils, but I do like that they're a New Jersey-based company. So let's start from the top. How did you pick this stencil, this deco art palm for your bathroom?
Okay, so to start from the top, we have to rewind. My husband Brian and I were renovating our bathroom, and it was the first time working with sheetrock.
Yeah.
And we were really, really bad at it.
I don't even know what goes into putting up sheetrock. I've seen contractors
make it look easy.
Yeah.
And it's not. And we made a lot of mistakes and there were a lot of seams. And it was not for lack of trying.
Yeah.
The amount of time we tried to cover up these seams and mud the cracks and all that stuff. Oh my God, the sanding. End result.
Yeah.
Wasn't great.
Okay. But you did it yourself, and there's a lot of pride in being able to look at that wall and say, hey, I did that. I put that up.
We did it ourselves for half the cost,
yeah,
and six times the amount of time that it would take.
But I think that that is kind of also to the point of wall stenciling, because it's amazing to do something in your house yourself. I mean, to the point of this whole podcast, it's amazing to do something yourself and look at it and be proud of what you did and just be happy in your home.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, budget is always going to be a factor in what you do yourself and what you hire out. And we did it ourselves because it wasn't in our budget to hire out. But now when we renovate the upstairs, it will be in our budget. And we realize sheetrock, not for us.
Not for you.
Not for me. So hard. So the reason I chose the stencil was I needed to cover up the wall imperfections.
Oh.
And the stencil distracted from that.
That's genius. It's genius, actually.
I purposely picked a busy pattern, a unique, interesting, very wild pattern.
Yeah.
So you couldn't see how many bumps were in the wall from all the sheetrocking errors. And it's a lot cheaper than wallpaper, and my bathroom has no ventilation, no fan. It gets very wet in there. I almost said the M word.
Moist.
Jinx.
No, my bathroom also gets moist because I have no windows in it.
Yeah, it's and disgusting.
We basically have a dehumidifier running at all times.
I don't even do that.
Though I will tell you, it's very satisfying at the end of the week to pull out the reserve in the back of the dehumidifier and look at all of that water going down the drain.
That's disgusting.
No, it's amazing.
It's so gross. So wallpaper wasn't an option budget-wise or humidity-wise. So,
and if your walls aren't super flat, wallpaper's not going to work for you.
Yeah. So stenciling was the right choice. It's so hard.
That's what she said. Harder than the SATs?
Definitely.
Harder than marrying for money?
That's easy. Did not do that. But in the end, as all things with DIY, stenciling is worth it.
Describe what your stencil looks like. And of course, you can go to Kathleen's Instagram at Create Colorful Life. You can check it out there. But describe, what does your stencil look like? What is Art Deco Palm?
So I found it just by perusing the website. And I actually chose the same color that they had displayed. It is like one vertical palm frond-ish.
Like a leaf, like a big leaf, palm leaf.
Right.
Yeah.
But then it interlocks. It's a repeating pattern. And it's called the Deco Palm because it's like an art deco. What era was that?
That was the 20s.
Was it?
Okay. Yeah. Like Great Gatsby.
Yeah. It feels old-fashioned yet modern.
Yeah.
And
you used a bright white wall, and then you used bright blue paint sort of like a cobalt color in your stencil. So it gives a modern twist to an old fashioned pattern.
I think what you would see it more in the 1920s would be like a black background and like a gold pattern. That would be more art deco. But this is, yeah, white wall. And then I use Blue Plate by Sherwin-Williams. People ask me that a lot.
Yeah.
It's a very bright blue. I was inspired by their website. They also have a blue.
Most websites, they're going to show you color combinations with their wall stencils. If you don't have a large imagination, just go with what they're showing if you like it.
Yeah, definitely.
But if you don't want to play it safe, I think that stenciling is a great way to really pump up the creativity in your house. If you have a small room, like Kathleen, your stencil's fairly large. I would say medium to large. If you have a small room, go with a large stencil, because unlike a big room, if you have a lot of pattern and color and large stencils in a big room, it can feel overwhelming. But I love large stencils or large just wall prints in a small room. It makes the room feel bigger, and also it's contained. So you're never going to be overwhelmed or get sick of it.
Yeah. And like I said, stenciling is a much cheaper option than wallpaper, because the cost of the stencil could be between, say, $20 to $50 when you're using the right brand and the right quality.
Yeah.
I got a large, so I think it was closer to $50. You use such little paint. I used one quart. What's the sample size from Sherwin-Williams?
Yeah, like a quart.
Yeah, I only use one quart, and that is around, like, I believe less than $10. I get a discount at Sherwin-Williams.
Yeah.
If you're like a, we've registered somehow as like a contractor, I don't know.
That's a really good tip.
Yeah. So the whole thing could cost you easily less than $100, whereas one roll of nice wallpaper can cost $100.
Or sometimes even more. Sometimes like $250 or $300.
I know. Not for me.
It's so expensive.
I wish it was for me.
You have a fairly small bathroom.
That's an understatement.
How long did it take you? Okay, this is a podcast. You need to make noise. But Kathleen, for everybody listening right now, she literally just sunk into the back of her chair and hung her chin on her chest.
Days. Okay, but here's the thing, and this is why you're listening to us. You will learn from my mistakes because I did it all wrong. And like always, what did I do? I cried.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you put your hair in a bun, you regroup, and you get it done.
Yeah, you pull yourself up by your theoretical DIY bootstrings. Something like
that. By my coveralls. And I painted over all of it.
Okay.
I painted over everything I did. Because this is my thing. I either do it half-ass or I do it insanely meticulously.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not, depends on the day and depends on which direction the wind is blowing.
Yeah.
But I'll either be like, don't care, whatever. It can look like garbage. Or I'm like, I'm going to spend years on this.
Wait. So you did it all and you hated it. And did you sand the wall after you did it?
No.
Kathleen, you didn't?
Never.
Bad girl.
The baddest.
I cannot believe you didn't sand.
That's me.
I'm going to be thinking about this tonight and I'm not going to be able to sleep.
So the number one mistake people make when stenciling is putting on too much paint. And I will go into every single step in a minute, but I put on too much paint like any new stenciler.
Yeah.
And it seeps under the stencil and it bleeds. And when you want it to look like wallpaper, obviously a stencil is going to have a hand-done quality. It's a little irregular.
Yeah.
That's part of it. But when it looks so irregular and you just look like a bad crafter. And I just felt embarrassed by the quality. It broke my heart.
It broke your heart. No, I mean.
It broke my heart.
One of the most searched terms when you're looking up wall stencils and painting a wall with a wall stencil, wall stenciling without bleeding is one of the terms most searched, because bleeding underneath that stencil when you have it flat against the wall, if you have too much paint, it's just going to happen.
That is the number one way to mess it up. And that's what I did. But I just kept going with the same gusto of error
and then
until I did the whole wall.
And when it was all done, you're like, this is shit.
I've done a horrible job. Why did I keep going?
Okay. I would have at that point sanded over what I'd already done because I'd be afraid that you could see like.
Oh, you could. You Kathleen. Can.
Okay.
See, this is where your method would be beneficial because I just painted over it.
Yeah.
You could see the texture. And I was like, don't care.
How many coats of white? What color white did you use? Do you know?
Pure White by Sherwin-Williams. It's just like a very true white.
How many coats of white did you have to paint over?
Probably
so
three.
You did
so
three
this
coats.
Wall has hella loads of paint on it at this point.
Oh my God. This poor wall is like when you put on too much foundation when you're doing your makeup.
And it's caked on.
We all have that friend whose skin has so many layers of foundation on it. And you're like, honey, you're not hiding anything. I'm usually that friend. That's why I can say that. Okay, so you started over.
Right. So, but I think that this is what every DIYer experiences.
Yeah.
Those rough, humble beginnings of mm-hmm. doing it wrong.
Yeah.
To then really hone the technique. This is the technique. This is what you need to do.
Okay.
This is Bible. Okay. Don't listen to anyone else.
For you, Kardashian, this is Bible. DIY Bible.
I've never watched them. I didn't know they said that.
Oh my God. Please keep it that way. keep your untainted, pure Kardashian brain, just young and naive.
Okay. So I recommend getting your stencil high quality.
Yeah.
And a dense foam roller.
Yeah.
A small one. A stippling brush is good, but I didn't, or pouncing. I don't know. They call it a stippling brush, yeah. But then the action is pouncing.
Yeah. When you dab a brush, a stencil brush on the wall, it's called pouncing, which
just learned that today.
It feels a little frisky for me.
Very cat-like. And now this is where we ignore everyone else.
Yeah.
Do not use a spray adhesive. Do not recommend it.
Okay.
It adds an extra step. You can't just spray it in your space because then you're definitely getting spray adhesive glue
everywhere
in the air where you don't want it. So then I'm like walking outside, trying to spray it with spray adhesive, getting pieces of like grass in it. It's just like
pollen from the air will stick to it.
Or just anything. It's collecting debris now on the back.
Yeah.
And then if you put too much, you get that glue on your wall. Ugh. And then the paint was going in it. So I have texture of glue on the wall. I eventually gave up, so I don't recommend that.
Okay.
And I did not find it helped with bleeding really at all. It was more hassle.
That's good to know. Yeah.
It wasn't worth it.
Pro tip.
So I did not use the spray adhesive, but you do need a blue painter's tape to hold it in place.
Mm-hmm.
And that painter's tape was able to be reused maybe the whole time.
Really?
Maybe eventually it wears out enough that you have to add a little bit more, but painter's tape on all four sides, enough that you're able to just keep going.
Yeah.
And what's nice about cutting edge stencils in particular, they have repeat guides. It has a built-in alignment system.
Oh.
So I stencil one, and then when I move the stencil into the next placement, part of the stencil that I already put on the wall lines up with the stencil that I'm doing next. So it could be like three little dots or three lines. You make sure that those are visible within the holes of your next stencil and that it keeps it perfectly aligned.
Oh, okay. I get it. So you don't have to have two stencil patterns because the anchor, the part that connects each stencil that you put on the wall, is the pattern and not the actual stencil.
Right. However they make the pattern work, it always is going to repeat in a way that it shows you as a guide where to put the next stencil.
So you're not trying to space it out perfectly yourself.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about bleeding.
Yes, let's do.
Bleeding is when your paint gets under your stencil and then it doesn't look crisp.
Yeah. And those edges are like all wonky and drives me nuts.
It's like furry.
Yeah. It's so good. Ew. That's the most accurate, but also the most disgusting way to describe bleeding edges.
You're welcome. The best way to avoid this is using as little paint as possible. Any stencil tutorial I've ever watched always uses this term offload.
Oh, what does that mean?
It means you have to basically take all the paint off.
Once you've already put the paint on the roller?
Yes, very confusing. You roll the paint on the roller, trying to get it everywhere, whatever, equally around.
As evenly as you can.
And then you have to essentially take it all off.
Interesting.
But they'll show you to offload on a paper towel. I do not recommend this.
Yeah, a lot of YouTube videos.
All of them.
Show after they put the paint on the foam roller, then they roll the roller again over a paper towel to get off excess paint.
Do not recommend this because A, the paper towel will absorb it immediately and be sodden and you can't use it. Unless you have a free hand every time to hold the paper towel, it's just going to roll around your roller.
Yeah.
It gets stuck and then it's like this wet, messy paper towel that you're trying to not get everywhere else.
And also, every single brand of paper towel was not created equal. So some brands have little fuzzies. And so now you've got fuzzies in your paint, which sucks.
What works very well is a piece of cardboard.
Just having a large piece of cardboard to offload your roller paint on.
And the cardboard is so much more stiff. So it's going to stay where it is in place.
Yeah.
It's more absorbent. And in between rolls, in between offloading, the paint that you put on the cardboard is already pretty dry. So,
oh, because the paint would dry before you needed to offload it again.
Any Amazon box, rip off one of the sides and use the cardboard, and it'll work totally fine. You can go over the same area more than once or flip it back and forth.
Yeah.
And that will dry.
So I have a question for you. What was the finish of the paint that you used in your bathroom? Because a lot of times people will go with a semi-gloss in the bathroom because moisture builds up and then it's easily wipeable.
I use flat paint because it just works the best. I actually don't know why, but...
No, I'll tell you why they recommend flat for stenciling. Because flat dries faster and it reduces your chances of bleeding.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And I actually watched a YouTube video where the guy said, if you are a true novice at this, maybe consider using special fast dry paint that's not necessarily a wall paint, like an acrylic paint, because it dries so quickly that you might have a better chance of having a pattern that doesn't come out with any bleeding.
That's an important tip.
Can we touch on leveling for a second? Because I know how important this was when I was hanging wallpaper in my bedroom.
Yes. You can't just assume that your
eyeball is going to be able to keep everything level.
That or your ceiling lines level. If your ceiling isn't level as you go, it's going to start to slant, and that slant will get more exaggerated as the pattern continues, and you'll be all messed up. Cutting edge stencil has a clip-on level.
Oh my God, that's genius.
Yeah, so it just like is this little thin piece with a tiny little level on it, and that's really helpful.
A lot of people don't realize that when you're stenciling a wall and also when you're hanging wallpaper, making sure everything stays level and not just trusting your eyeball is so essential. Before we started recording today, Kathleen and I were watching this video from 13 years ago.
It was wild.
It was wild. In that video, they used a yardstick and just a regular level tool to draw like a grid on the wall before they used their wall stencil.
It would take so long. She stippled everything with a brush. That's the thing. Like these brushes, they are handy. And I tried it all the first round. I don't recommend the brush for large areas. It would take forever.
I'm the person that would be like, I'm doing the whole thing like a purist with a brush.
Like Michelangelo over here. No.
You used a foam roller basically for everything.
Yeah, a dense foam roller. Mm-hmm. Now, what I learned is you want so little paint on this roller that you actually have to put a hard pressure on the roller to even almost get any paint out.
Top tip right there.
You know, if you're painting a wall, you're running out of paint, so you have to push harder.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how it was. So I found that as I went on, as the roller started to run out of even more paint, they were coming out better because when it's so dry, when the roller is so dry, the likelihood of bleeding just goes down and down and down.
Yeah.
When you have a big
floppy
splooge of paint, it's going to seep under. And here is my disclaimer.
Yeah.
You will do everything right. Mm-hmm. You will listen to me and you will do it all right and you will still get bleeding.
Normal for stenciling, abnormal coming through your stitches after surgery.
What?
I think. I don't know. I watched Grey's Anatomy.
So once you do everything right, you know, you offload it on your cardboard and you're using the right amount of paint, which is nothing. You might feel like it doesn't look dark enough, but it is. Trust me. A little bit of irregularity is kind of what makes a stencil.
Yeah.
It's not going to be solid and you can't expect it to be solid and look exactly like a wallpaper.
Yeah.
It is maybe a little bit lighter over here and a little bit darker there. Mm-hmm. But in the grand scheme of things, you don't notice, but it also kind of adds to the character if you do notice.
Yeah, yeah. And the handmade look is always more charming.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think Michelangelo tossed and turned over a little bleeding? No, he kept going.
I don't think he used a stencil, but maybe he did.
Oh, yeah, you're right. So how did you combat the bleeding the second time you did it when you didn't use too much paint?
So when bleeding happens, I recommend having a whole pocket full of Q-tips.
Yeah.
One side wet, one side dry.
Yeah.
And even like they have those cosmetic Q-tips that have a point.
Oh, that is genius.
Yeah, so if you wet that, you can get the little areas.
I've seen people put baby wipes, wrap them around the edge of a butter knife.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, to go in that way and get a really straight line. But you have to do this before your paint has dried.
If you can get it when it's wet, it's easier.
Yeah.
Or you can always just paint over it with the wall color.
Go in with a teeny tiny little paintbrush.
Yeah, and if you're getting a lot of bleeds, check the back of the stencil before you move on, because there could be paint back there that's messing you up. They do recommend buying two stencils. I didn't.
I was just gonna,
cheap.
You are inside my head right now, because I was going to ask you why people don't buy two stencils, because I would buy two stencils.
Because I'm cheap.
Okay. I would be like the one that's like, oh, it's got to be perfect. I'm going to use one stencil and let it dry, and then use another stencil and let it dry. And
if you do it thin enough, you'll be fine. I didn't wait any time. I just was able to keep going from one to the other. I had no problems. And learn from me.
Yeah.
Don't cut your stencil.
Okay.
I was like, I'm done. This corner is tricky. Let me cut the stencil.
That is why I would buy two stencils.
I know.
So I would have one to cut for corners and then one that I would keep whole.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. When you were figuring out where you were going to start, did you start in the corner or did you look into your bathroom and figure out where the main focal point of the stencil pattern was going to be and go from there?
This is a good question.
Yeah. Because for wallpaper, they say, and large scale stencils, a lot of times they'll say, don't start in the corner, figure out where the center focal point of your room is, start there, and then go out to the corners from there.
Yeah, it's the same like I recommended with the peel and stick. So I started the peel and stick tile centered on the doorway. So it's the same principle.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Sometimes I think and sometimes I don't.
So you didn't.
Pretty sure
it.
I just threw up that stencil wherever.
I can't believe.
No, but I think I did start in the middle, because once I got to the corners, it was challenging.
It was challenging. That is why I have purchased stencils before, but I've never actually executed stenciling, because I always ask myself before starting, how long is this really going to take? Did you do your bathroom in a day or was it like multiple days?
No, I would say the first go around took probably like 3 days.
Really?
Because when you're messing up, there's frustration and then it leads to more errors. And then you do the whole wall, it looks terrible.
Yeah.
And then you have your breakdown and then you paint over it. But the second go around went way faster. Mm-hmm. But it still probably took like 2 days. I don't know about you, but for me, any DIY project, after about 3 hours, that's really my max. Then I need a break. Then I'm starting to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Always lunch.
And your hand starts to hurt.
You're just mad.
You're
like, I don't even know why I did this. I just wish I had more money and pay for this stupid.
Or you start getting mad at yourself. You're like, I did this to myself. This is the consequences of my own actions.
I was just saying in my stories, do you speak to yourself out loud, like do you call yourself something?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I was whenever I'm doing anything home related, I talk to myself.
Yeah,
like, yeah, one down, another wall to go. Absolutely, I talk to myself all the time.
Keep it peppy. The other day I was home alone, because I work at home alone.
Yeah.
And then you talk to yourself even more. And I was like, all right, Leanie Marie, let's do this.
You call yourself Leanie?
Well, that's like a family nickname. And then Marie's my middle name. I was like, that's a new one.
Maybe Leanie Marie needs to be your DIY alter ego.
Leanie Marie.
And you cheer her on.
Come on. It's just like so vulnerable.
Does that make my DIY counterpart Leanie Heaney?
That's perfect.
It has a nice ring to it.
It does.
And you know what? DIYing is, to me, I like working on projects alone, because I'll look over at my poor husband. I'll be like, you're not doing it right. Just put your materials down and walk away.
You've been fired.
And that's why he's like so hesitant to help me with anything. And I think that's why I have a hard time like actually completing projects. I need to approach him helping me with a little bit more kindness. But it is a very solitary hobby.
Yeah.
And passion. And talking to yourself, I think, is totally okay.
We're going down this road alone.
Oh, I have a question to ask you. I this has been on the tip of my tongue. Did you buy your foam roller through the company that you bought your stencil from?
I've used both, but foam is foam. I didn't notice any difference.
I will say, though, that if your stencil company that you're buying from offers brushes, use their brushes.
Oh, their brushes are very nice. So I said I would not recommend doing a full wall with the brush.
Yeah.
But the brushes are very helpful for those tricky areas like corners and extra trim. The corners are typically going to be half a stencil and you have to bend the stencil. These stencils that I got, they make them thick enough that you're not going to crease them, like they're able to be bent.
Yeah.
But it's awkward. It's not usually flat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when the different brushes are very helpful. Don't be like me. Wash them afterwards.
Yeah.
Because these are nice brushes that you don't want to ruin like I did.
Yeah. So how often did you wash your stencil when you were working in your bathroom? Because the paint builds up eventually on the back of it, right?
Only once. And honestly, it was a disaster. I put it into the bathtub and I was trying to wash it like a baby.
Oh,
and
God.
It wasn't working. If you don't get too much paint on the back to begin with, you don't have to wash it, but it does build up a lot on the front. But as long as it's not really blocking the holes of the stencil, I didn't have a problem with it.
I would not recommend getting just like the cheapest stencil you can find from Amazon or wherever, because what the stencil is made of truly makes a difference in how well your stenciling is going to come out. Like the quality stencils are usually made with Mylar plastic. So just check your materials before you hit that purchase button. Kathleen, another thing worth mentioning, you were very bold in having a white wall with a bright blue paint for your stencil. If you're a stencil newbie and you kind of want to just dip your toe in the stencil world, use, I call it the nail chipping property. You know, when you get your nails done and you get like a light pink so that when the edges start to chip, you basically almost can't even see it.
I would never in a million years get a light pink nail color.
Kathleen.
But okay. I understand the theory.
For the rest of us that don't always have like bright red glamorous nails. Yeah, that's why I always get my toes done in like a fairly light color, because when they start to chip, you can't tell. I know you're looking at me like I'm...
I got talked into a light toenail polish for my wedding.
I can't believe you let someone talk you into a color that you didn't want for your wedding.
I will let the nail salon talk me into anything. They will make me bleed and I will tip them 20% and I'll say, thank you, ma'am. And then I will leave.
No, you need to stop them when they're doing it and be like, I don't like it.
It was a horrible light toenail polish in gel. So I paid more and I couldn't get it off. It was horrible.
Oh, okay. Well, if you are not Kathleen and you like pale colors, like I like pale colors every now and then, I think a really great way to not be totally traumatized by your stencil experience would be to pick a color for your stencil that is the same color family, green on green, pink on pink, whatever you want to do, cream on cream, and have it just a few shades lighter, a few shades darker. So your eye is not going to pick up on the inconsistencies like it would of a really stark color contrast.
Yeah, I love tone on tone.
Yeah, I think tone on tone is so underrated because it's a great way to add texture and pattern to a space without like really overdoing it.
Yeah, definitely.
Would you ever stencil a ceiling?
You know what? My gut instinct was no, but probably. My ceilings have paint texture and you can't get rid of it.
You have popcorn ceilings?
No, see, that's the thing. Popcorn can be moistened, dampened. And scraped off. Textured paint can't be sanded off. It would have to be skim coated or covered up with new sheetrock. So I couldn't do anything on any of my ceilings, but I think it would be cool.
Stenciling a ceiling is a great way to make a small room look bigger. Your eye doesn't get cut off when the ceiling and the walls are the same print, pattern, color.
Oh, you would bring the stencil to the ceiling?
Yeah, bring the stencil to the ceiling.
Oh, see, I don't think I would do that. Only because the maths don't math for me and lining that up would be too hard.
It'd be really, 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 really time intensive.
If you want to hurt your neck,
yeah,
try stenciling a ceiling.
I was looking up different wall stencils just because I haven't like brushed up on the new patterns that are available out there. Mm-hmm. And I came across a website that said, use a stencil on duvets.
No.
On pillows.
No.
On lampshades.
Hell no. No, that's something you do block printing. Okay. Not stenciling.
So we'll do a separate episode on block printing and a separate episode on stenciling your floors, because that's a whole other game.
I would say I took all my fails and turned them into triumphs on my floor stencil.
Okay, well, that's very good to know. Instead of a social shout out, should we do a stencil shout out this episode?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I am choosing a stencil from a company called Oak Lane Studio. I've never purchased anything from them, but I think that their stencil called the Truesdale Wall Stencil, which is essentially like a very geometric pattern. It looks like circles that are outlined that loop with each other like the Olympics, except they loop horizontally. This like circles holding hands, repeating on a horizontal pattern, and they all have these like vertical lines going through them.
Right.
The Truesdale Wall Stencil from Oak Lane Studio. People might Google wall stencils and see some really wild patterns and be afraid to do it. And if you have like a more traditional style, I think that this is the Truesdale Wall Stencil is a fresh take on experimenting with a wall stencil, because it doesn't look like a crazy pattern. It looks like a wallpaper that maybe your grandma might be okay with.
I think stencils might still have a bad rap in some people's minds, because I know my childhood bedroom had like a stenciled border.
Yes.
I think, you know, when some people hear wall stenciling, they think of like really old fashioned.
Like seashells.
Yeah, but no, it's like this whole new thing that you're really just replicating wallpaper, the look and feel of wallpaper.
Yeah.
But with a stencil for less money. So I think a really good stencil to get started with.
Yeah.
This is from Cutting Edge Stencil. It's the hand-drawn chevron wall stencil.
Oh, I love that, because while I don't like chevron, there's just something very organic about the hand-drawn chevron stencil from Cutting Edge.
Yeah, so a chevron is a zigzag pattern, but this is a little bit different. It's these very irregular diagonals, like arrows pointing upwards.
Yeah.
And then arrows pointing downwards, but there's a white gap in between each direction change.
Yeah.
They have it in a black and white example. It's very light. Mm-hmm. It just adds a little bit of texture to the wall. And I think it goes with a more modern style, goes with a more farmhouse style. Mm-hmm. I think you could really put that on the wall and then do any type of style with it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it would be a great beginner style, because it's literally just like a line that you're stenciling into the wall over and over again. There's no loops, there's no flowers, there's nothing.
Yeah, I like that one. It makes a lot more impact than just a plain wall.
I wonder if you could be a professional stenciler.
You can be a professional anything.
Kathleen, this is a whole new revenue stream for you. You could offer to stencil people's walls.
No. I only put this love into my own wall.
Okay. As always, all the products that we mentioned in this episode will be linked in our show notes and on our website, Kathleen Can Do It. Follow our podcast on Instagram at Kathleen Can Do It.
You can leave us a voicemail. Our number is 201-378-3378.
You can text us there too. And you can send us an email at hello@KathleenCanDoIt.com. Also, make sure you head over to Facebook, facebook.com/KathleenCanDoItPodcast. Through that page, you can join our DIY group. Really fun conversation happening in there. People are really posting very cool projects, and other members are commenting on it and offering advice. It's a fun place to be.
You can follow me, Kathleen Martin, at Create a Colorful Life.
And me, Kathleen Heaney, at Kathleen Loves Color.
And don't forget,
if Kathleen can do it, you can do it too.
Did you notice my sexy voice today?
Yeah, your cold is really turning my DIY furnace on today, baby.
Hi, ladies. This is Kate. Just listening to your episode about bath mats. And I just want to say that I'm so excited that you made this podcast. I've been following Kathleen and Bethany for years, and I've always been obsessed with design. I'm always watching TikToks and looking at Pinterest and redecorating my apartment every 2 months, my poor fiance. So I'm just finally happy that I have a podcast with people who are just as crazy and obsessed as me. So keep it up. I can't wait to listen to more. Bye.